Stand for 1 minute if we could. Let's stand for 1 minute. Did everybody get a handout? Did everybody get a handout? Not the kind of handout you're looking for, all right? You're not getting that here. Talk to Obama about that. We're just going to read two verses and then we'll pray and be seated. We've been looking at the church. It's been a lot longer than it's been as many lessons because we've had youth conference, we had vacation time, out of town for whatever reason. We're finishing up here, but we're going to look today at our belief system. We're going to look at everybody believes something. Jude chapter 1, we'll just read two verses. We'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Thank you, Brother Al, for that presentation. That was a blessing. And as we've been talking about in Stewardship Month, we finished up. Whenever you give, basically you're bearing fruit through your giving, whether it's in the bus ministry. Our family, for years, we give to the bus ministry monthly on a monthly basis. We never had I don't think our church has ever had a giving campaign to give to the bus ministry, but I want to be in on it. Good things are happening. I want to get in. And, in missions and so forth, and it's a blessing. And so it's good to be able to see what God is doing through your giving. And so Jude chapter 1, we'll read the two verses. It might be on your paper there. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to look at these verses and heed the warning from Jude. And Father, I pray you'd help us as we look and really just strengthen our church in what we believe and not be caught up in what others are doing and what's going on. And Father, just help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, Jude here, as we look at the book of Jude, how he, what he's writing about, there are certain points I want to just get. This is the introduction. This will help you. By way of introduction, and I think you have some blanks on your paper, Jude is making several points here, and this will tie into what we're going to talk about this evening very briefly. First of all, your first little bullet there, he's talking about the common salvation. The common salvation. Jude says, in essence, I was going to write unto you and talk about our common salvation. That was his original purpose. That's what he was going to focus in on. Now, he's going to take a turn in a minute. But that was his purpose. And so, just so that we understand, because it'll be one of our points as we get a little bit later, that there is only one salvation. It is common. Okay, there isn't, you know, people sometimes when it comes to our salvation, they have these, you know, they come up with these nice little cute illustrations, you know, like, well, if I was going to, if I was driving out to Anaheim or somewhere out there, I could look on map software and I could find two or three different ways to get there. I could take this road or I could take that road. If we're going to Bakersfield and we're driving, you're going to go through the Grapevine, but you have options to get there. Let me tell you a bad option, the 405. The 405 is always a bad option, okay? We were coming back from vacation, and I drove most of the way. My wife drove the last few hours, and so we were coming in. Our goal was to make it to church, and she took the 405 instead of the 5. It took us the last 30 miles or so, not even, maybe 20 miles, 25 miles, it took us 3 hours. Say that, oh, yeah, that's after being in the car for 20 hours. Are you with me? That's not good. So that road's a bad road. But all roads lead, it doesn't matter what road you take, it's all going to lead to the same place. That's not true. You know, they give the illustration of an elephant, you know. If three people put on blinders and they describe an elephant, if one of them fills his legs, they'll say, wow, this feels like a big trunk of a tree. Or they fill his ears. This feels like, you know, but it's all an elephant. That's not salvation. Right. Salvation is common. The verse there, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. Doesn't sound like he's given much recourse for others. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we need to understand that. Don't just believe, you know, salvation. But sometimes people come to our church, they'll tell you, you know, you check out how you're doing, what kind of church you go. Oh, I'm a Christian. You know, try to get a testimony from them. Everybody's a Christian. I mean, you know that. Oh, I'm a Christian. I never ask somebody, are you a Christian? I always ask them, are you 100% for sure when you die, you go to heaven? That way, if they say yes, say, what would you base that on? Then they have to explain it to you, okay? But that's where Jude started, common salvation. Next, contending for the faith. He said it was, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, man, I was going to be diligent, I was going to write about it. He goes, but it was needful. I mean, I needed to do this for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. He was constrained by what was going on around him to stand up and say, listen, we need to have the right faith, the right beliefs, and we have to be willing to contend for it. We have to be willing to fight for it. It's important. By the way, now when we talk about faith and common salvation, you know, they're not the same thing. The common salvation is part of the faith. There's a lot of beliefs in there. By the way, let me say this. People are like, you know, well, you know, there's a lot of bad beliefs coming into the church and Christianity. Can I tell you where it started? It started in the New Testament. It was, if you read the New Testament epistles, they talk a lot about bad doctrine and people coming in trying to cause some trouble, contending for the faith. And we need to contend for the faith. There's only one true faith, and that is found in God's word. And so that's what we need to learn. So he said, contend for the faith. Next, then he talked about certain men. Certain men. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Why must we contend for the faith? Because there will always be those out there who are fighting it. They're trying to pollute it. They devalue it. That is the reason we must listen. We are not contentious to be contentious. We're contentious because truth is worth standing up for. Because if you don't have truth, you have nothing. Okay? And so we need to know what the truth is, because people come in. They try to devalue it. They get others to follow something that is not the faith. If you change something, pollute it even a little, you've perverted it. It is no longer true. It is no longer pure. And so our belief system, we must be rock solid and follow God's word. Amen. Christianity is getting very, very bad at this. By the way, men can be very persuasive. Okay? That's why the Bible's important. Oh, you know, I heard this guy and he was just such a good communicator and he just sounded, and what he said made sense. Is it true? There has to be something that's true you can gauge it against, or else you don't know what is true. Okay? So you have to. That's why the Bible is the source of truth. Everything needs to go back to that. How do I know? The Bible says let God be true and every man a liar. But it sounded good. If it's not scripture, it's not right. He's a liar. Okay? And so man can be very persuasive. He can sound confident. Now, I want you, as we get in, we'll just have a couple points, and it won't take us long to get through our main points. But look at how Jude describes these men. Okay? You have that on your sheet. Now, I don't mean this in a bad way, okay? They're creeps. Not like the guy you used to like, all right? Oh, that guy turned out to be a creep. Not like that. All right? By the way, you think he's a creep? He thinks you're a creep, too. Just throw that out there. What I mean is they've crept in. They're creeping in. It's a slow process. This is what's happened. There are things that our modern Christianity today, even people we would consider liberals, that we would have considered liberals 75 years ago, wouldn't believe. They'd have been shocked and appalled. Okay? There are books that are written and published by alleged Christian publishing companies that are just junk. There's a guy that wrote a book. Why? About gay Christianity. You can be a gay Christian. And he tried to explain away everything in the Bible. Now, you would expect that to be published by some secular organization. It was a Multnomah Press, which years ago used to be known as a Christian press. There's others. A guy wrote a book about, love wins. In other words, doesn't matter. At the end, no one's going to go to hell because love wins. What? Yeah, really, Joel. I'm not lying. Stupid. Thank you. Preach, come on. Calm down. You know, that kind of stuff wouldn't have passed years ago. Yeah. Even someone that was socially liberal would have stood up and said, "Hey, that's not true." But you know what? It's being accepted now. Yeah. Like the frog in the pot. The longer it goes, and the longer it goes, the more we get used to it. But they creep in. They're condemned. It doesn't matter how popular they are. Doesn't matter how well known they are, or what the look. Get nervous whenever the world in general thinks good about someone who's supposed to be a Christian. That means they're probably teaching something that's false, that feels good, and they don't stand up for the truth, or they've changed the truth. Well, everything has to be positive. Well, you know, just read the Bible. You don't have to read very many pages. You're going to see something a little bit negative. Now, the positive's there too, by the way. I'm not saying we chuck the positive. But they'll be condemned. God knows what's going on. Okay? Don't judge them by man. They're carnal. Jude says, ungodly men. You know what? The lifestyles of some people who profess to be Christians or preachers in these circles is appalling. And we'll get to the second part of that in a minute. There was a church in Long Beach here. The leader emailed me about something, and the link to the website was there. So I'm curious. I'll check his website out. So I did. A church. I was kind of disturbed at first because he had a blog. On the blog, he called Christians a cuss word. And then in the next blog, he defended it. And he gave a verse and said, Jesus thinks the same thing. So I thought, I wonder what this guy really... So, you know the little thing about the pastor? I thought, I'll just, check it out. And the guy's talking, saying, and about the pastor. His hobbies are, he likes to hang around, take it easy, with a cup of coffee or a beer in his hand. Now, this is on his whatever, his social media site. This is on his church's website. By the way, that's all over the place. It's cool. To be the cussing preacher. To talk about talking doctrine and drinking beer and hanging in bars. Reaching the unsaved. That stuff wouldn't have flown a long time ago. It has slowly crept in. But it's a carnal lifestyle. I don't care if it looks... By the way, let me just say this. You younger ones, you're the ones that are getting sucked up in this nonsense. It's because what happens is you want to be cool and you want to live that lifestyle, but you feel bad to leave Jesus out of it. So what you do is you follow these guys that say, well, look, you can do this nonsense, and you just kind of attach Jesus to it. Can I just tell you something? Jesus has nothing to do with that stuff. He doesn't. Lifestyle is important. Okay, well, you might want to read Timothy, the qualifications. Those are in there. But again, that's the Bible, and they're not really following it. Next, look at the next thing. They change. They change. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's the dangerous part to me. The dangerous part is if you want to live that kind of lifestyle, I don't think you should. And you want to say you're a Christian, and that's up to you. But then to turn around and to condone it by the scripture is dangerous ground. Turning the grace of God into lascivious, a wicked lifestyle. Well, I'm under grace, brother. If we're under grace, I think we ought to live a little better. Grace helps us to do that which is right. Because it's hard for us to do that on our own. But the flesh kicks in, and it's what we want to do. And we want to soothe our conscience. And so, God doesn't mind. And then the last thing is they cancel. They cancel. What does that mean? Look at the last part. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the steps are getting worse and worse and worse. Now we're changing doctrine. And we've talked about this. It used to be there was a brand of Christianity that says we'll reach more people if we don't talk about the negative things and we don't worry about the lifestyles. Let everybody live how they want, and we won't focus on that. That's not a big deal, but we'll just still reach people with the gospel and get them saved. Now the emergent church has come and said, you know what? Doctrine is keeping us from reaching people. Let's change our doctrine. Doctrine is the truth. The truth is what you reach people with. If you have nothing to reach them with, if you reach them, what are you reaching them to? It's just a social club. That's all it is. We have our home groups and we'll drink coffee together, and it doesn't matter what you believe. And listen, people are slipping in there and they're slipping out and they're not getting saved. They're going to hell. I've told you some of the doctrines that have been under attack, they cancel. Now, so we must make sure that our beliefs and our faith are right, that we don't change, that we contend. By the way, contending doesn't mean we're contentious. Now, sometimes you have to. And by the way, I would rather be seen as contentious and believe that which is right than be soft and believe that which is wrong. But I don't think we need to be mean-spirited. Say, it's not right. I don't have to tell you. I'm not trying to pick fight here, but it's right. It's not right. Someone's got to get up and say that. And it kills me, Go ahead. It kills me, going to some other church and, over here, they're not judgmental and they're loving. They'll say that as they're criticizing us. And they're condemning us, but we're unloving.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to go there, that's fine. I think it's a little rough around here. Hey, listen, just hang with us.
Amen.
Because the truth is what helps.
Amen.
Man, I want to go to a doctor that says, brother, you have to get that thing fixed or you will die. I'm in on that. Okay? I don't hurt your feelings. Let's be positive here. Okay? Keep eating the Whoppers and you'll be fine. Well, I wouldn't eat the Whoppers because they come in rainbow wrapping now. Now, we're a Baptist church. Okay? What does that mean? Does that mean the Baptist church is the only Christian church in the world? No. But we're Baptist for a reason. We're Baptist because we feel that the traditional Baptist biblical beliefs are closest to the Bible. Okay? I'm not into those labels. Well, what are you? I'm non-denominational. That's a label. Well, we don't have a label. We're just a church. That's a group. Everybody has a label. Are you with me? Okay, everybody has their little club. Remember I read a book by Pat Riley. He took over the Knicks, and he said the problem with the team was they had a bunch of cliques. Everybody had their little group. And so one day he figured out who the groups were, and he brought them in. He put he set out some chairs. He goes, I want you five guys to sit in those seats, and I want you three guys to sit there. I want you four guys to sit there. And he said, I want you one person to sit right there. And that was, and they looked at him. They figured it out. He goes, you guys are cliques. You guys are a clique. You don't like these guys. And then he ripped this guy. Hey, you're by yourself. You're a clique too. Okay. Everybody has a group. Everybody has some type of a system. So I want to say a few things. First of all, we trace our roots back to the New Testament. We are not a Protestant church. What's a Protestant? A Protestant church that protested the Catholic Church and came out from the Catholic Church. The problem is most of them did not come out enough. And they're still like Catholics. Now, don't say this to, is there anybody here from Maywood? No. You know the Maywood church, I was there last Wednesday night because I was going to the Filipino camp, go yellow team, okay? And so I went to the Wednesday night church service there, and it's like, that auditorium looks Catholic. What is that, a Lutheran church? Lutheran. They're all going. You know where the Lutheran church started? Martin Luther. Martin Luther came out of the Catholic Church. By the way, he never came out far enough, and he had no problem with Baptists being persecuted because they believed in scriptural baptism. And so they didn't come out far enough. They're going right back. That's what Revelation talks about when they're all going back to mama. And so they're basically there in their belief system. We're not Protestant. We try to align our beliefs to the Bible and say, well, I don't really like that. I just like this all-inclusive thing. Okay, well, let me give you a couple points. Number one, every church has a set of beliefs that it holds to.
Yeah.
They do. You ever hear the word standards?
Yeah.
You know, certain standards or convictions a church believes. We have standards. By the way, the whole thing is, well, your church has standards on certain things. We believe in grace. We don't have standards. That is a lie.
Right.
For instance, now, fasten seatbelts and hang on here. We'll be good. We'll be fine. Okay? Let's talk about modesty. Okay? We have standards. Now, look, you come to church dressed however you want, as long as it's not immoral. But that doesn't mean we're going to change what we believe about ladies being modest. We believe ladies should dress modestly. Now, ladies, you say, I don't understand that. I don't expect you to understand it. You're not wired like men. Let me let you in on a secret. We're motivated by sight, okay? So, you come in with some skimpy outfit. Oh, that's horrible. No, no, no. Our flesh says, hey.
Yeah.
So I can't believe you said that. My flesh likes that. So I don't help a brother out, okay? You know what I'm saying? So you have to have a standard somewhere. The standard we've chose is what we believe is biblical, okay? First of all, modesty means it's modest. It doesn't draw attention to things and get a guy's thoughts going crazy. But the Bible in many places talks about if someone shows their thighs, they use the word nakedness. That's the standard we hold to. In our school, girls, you're dressed, we want them at the knee level. Why? Because then we don't see your thighs. Oh, your husband ought to see that when you get married.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'll stop there. But You say, oh, I just don't believe that. I don't have standards like that. Come on, you guys are too pushy. Okay, then let me ask you this. I'm not going to show you my leg, all right? That would scare you. It's just so much muscle there, you'd probably die. You know what I'm saying? So my wife struggles with it too. That's okay. All right? So let's go ahead and say, so where's your standard? Oh, so you don't have a standard. No, you guys are legalistic. Okay, so is it okay if they wear a skirt here? 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 Show your underwear? Oh, they shouldn't show their underwear. You have a standard. It's low, but you got one. Don't tell me you don't. We just don't believe that. We believe in grace. No, how low should the shirt be? Well, you know, I'm not into that. Really? You guys that say that, wait till you have daughters. Come on. You're going to let her strut down the street? You talked about that Sunday night. What? That's ridiculous. We have standards. By the way, businesses have standards. Wear the uniform. Okay? So don't get on us. Well, we just happen to try. Now, if you're new, ladies, we'll be okay. We love you and everything's good. And yeah, that's fine. But there's a standard. Everybody has them. You draw the line somewhere. My daughter was driving somewhere coming from her work, and she's like, man, Dad, I flipped on the Christian radio station. It was a talk show. And this one guy called and said, we're having trouble in our church. It's one of those churches that don't have a standard. Yeah. He said, our worship team, by the way, strike one. We don't have a worship team. Our worship team, the ladies' dress is appalling, and I can't think about God. Something to that lines. And it's like, what do we say to them? What do we do? And they're sitting there trying to figure out you're right because you've said, you know, there is no standard because you haven't set a standard. Have a standard. You do have a standard, you just didn't verbalize it. And they crossed the line, but you didn't want to give them the line. Everybody has a standard. Well, you know, why don't we just all be Christians who love God and that's all? That's pie in the sky. We ought to be all Christians. We ought to love all. But why is it because we believe the principles of the Bible, all of a sudden we don't love it? We're unloving. We are loving. But we got to follow God. Okay, number two. We'll go through this one quickly because I think we went through it. The Baptists have a core set of biblical beliefs that we have historically held to. We have. And you know the acrostic Baptists. I'll give it to you quickly. If you've been through our discipleship, and I think in one of the lessons we quickly blew through it, B is for the Bible we use for our sole authority. Let me give you these quickly because we'll get to number three and we can get out of here. A, the autonomy of the church. In other words, the church is self-governing. We do not have a denomination that runs us. Each church is led by God. Now, we have sister churches of like faith, yes. But churches are not run by a pope or a cardinal. You don't see those in the Bible, okay? P is the priesthood of the believers. What does that mean? You know, the Catholics have the belief to get to God, you have to go through Mary, who goes to Jesus, and Jesus goes to God, and there you go. You got your four-person connection. No, you can go straight to God because you're saved, okay? T is the two offices of the church, pastor, deacon. I, individual soul liberty. We have free will to choose God or ignore him. That's why it's like, well, you guys, you know, sometimes you're a little rough around here. You have choice. All we do is we try to be faithful to God's word and teach the truth, but you have soul liberty to decide what you do with the truth. You know what I'm saying? That's between you and God. We love everybody, you know, and hey, that's your right. That's free will. And we're also not like Calvinists that say, if you're saved, God chose you. And if he chose you, you're going to get saved no matter what. If he hasn't chose you, you ain't getting saved no matter what. Listen, if I believe that, I would never go soul winning again. We would save the money on those tracks. Okay? Well, I just want to be involved with it. If God's going to save him anyhow, why do I want to be involved with it? Doesn't happen that way. Okay? Brother Al didn't go to Hong Kong and say, let me find those whose Jesus chose. No, he's going to go find people that need the gospel. S, saved and baptized to make up the membership of the church. We believe those are the requirements. Saved and baptized. T, two ordinances, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, which will be taken on August 10th, Sunday night. S, separation of church and state. That doesn't mean the government tries to wipe out every vestige of Christianity. Just means we're separate, that there's no such thing as a church-run, a government-run church. Okay? We're separate from our government. We should pray for our government. As hard as that is, that's probably the hardest thing on my prayer list. But I do it. I pray for our president. What do you pray for? It's hard. I pray for our new mayor. That's hard. I pray for peace. That's easy. Okay, but it's just. All right. Number three, the trend now, and I'm talking about Christianity and churches, is to devalue the faith. Devalue it. Take away from that pure faith we once had. It's not a big deal. It's just let's love everybody and let's share the gospel. We'll all sing kumbaya and reach everybody we can, and our belief system's not important. Okay? I'm talking about in churches. They're trying more to have church growth and not be God-honoring. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I'm for a growing church. Why? If we want to reach people with the gospel, what do we want to do? Man, we want to reach everybody we can. I think serving Jesus is a good thing.
Yes, sir.
I think knowing the Lord is wonderful, and I want everybody to know him. Yeah. So let's reach everybody we can, but not at the expense of beliefs. And by the way, I don't think you need to expend your beliefs, okay? I think we need to give people a little more credit. They're devaluing it. Methods are a big deal, by the way. Just be honest with you. They are. The church Bible reading schedule, we are in Isaiah, so... And I'm reading through the Bible also chronologically. And I just read through the story of David trying to bring the ark back. And David, it was taken by the Philistines. And David goes, hey, let's go get it, man. He got his buddies together. They had a party. They went and grabbed the ark. They did not do it the way God told them to do it. And they put on a cart, and it started to fall. And Uzzah thought, man, God's ark's going to fall. I better hold it for God. God struck him dead. Yeah. By the way, David got a bad attitude about it. David said, how shall the ark of God come, man? Obed-Edom, you take it. By the way, Obed-Edom was in on that thing, man. He was blessed. But David was doing the right thing, but he did it his own way. And God didn't excuse Uzzah because they didn't follow Scripture. By the way, it's funny. After a while, 3 months I think it was, David saw the blessing and said, we need to bring that back. And guess what they did? They followed the precept God said. Guess what? No one got killed. Methods are important. Now, let me say that. I don't mean be mean, but recently there was somebody, years ago, pastor had given a letter of recommendation to this certain ministry. And I found that it's not a ministry we support. They're going a different direction. Worship team, the whole nonsense, not stuff we do, not against them. We just don't support them. I found out that pastor's letter was on the website recommending the ministry. So I emailed him. Said, brother, love you. Hope things are going well. Take pastor's letter off. You know as well as I do that that's not how we do things. And I wouldn't want someone from our church to see what you do and then see pastor's letter and think cause confusion in their mind. I said, can you take the letter down? A couple other things, and no problem. Took the letter down, not a problem. That's not our methods. Now, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. Now, I personally believe there's a certain type of thing it's going to produce. That's their. We don't do that. Methods are important. Right. It's not just about gathering a crowd. By the way, if we had a rock band up here, we'd probably get more people. And I'll just be honest with you. My flesh would like that. Oh, no, you're worldly. I know. I totally am. But I'm fighting it. Remember Brother Esposito was doing those video clips years ago. And he's showing all these Christian artists, this contemporary Christian artists. I'm like, man, that stuff's lame. That's lame. And then he showed one group called Evanescence. I'm like, I'd listen to that. That's what I listened to when I was unsaved. I'm like, I'd be all in on that. Okay? My flesh. But I know that's not right, so I don't listen to it. Okay? Methods are important. Okay, we want to come and think about God. We don't want people up here, performing and hey. It's all, we're not doing that. And there's no God in that either, by the way. All right, quickly. What are they devaluing? Let me give you A, B, C, D, and I think E. They're devaluing the Bible. Several ways we devalue the Bible. First of all, we have the wrong one. Okay? The newer Bibles have been, verses have been taken out. Yes. Words have been taken out. You can take any of those newer Bibles and you can prove anything from them. You can. You look for the virgin birth, it's ambiguous. You look to see that Jesus was born of a virgin, it's ambiguous. It's not there. They took those words out. It's a problem. So I understand why some of these guys change their doctrine, because all they got to do is go to their NRV or their New American Standard or whatever, and they can prove a lot of this stuff, or they can't disprove what is wrong. It's a big deal. Or they also devalue it by ignoring it. I don't want to be negative. I'm all for being positive. Amen? Jesus is good. Okay? He's real good. He's big time good. But you know what keeps our life good? Some of the things he says, hey, if you do that, you're going to be hurt. Okay? Look, you don't want your kids playing in the street. Say, well, I have a couple of them. Typically. You don't want your kids playing in the street. You don't want them going somewhere they're going to get hurt, right? Why? You want them to be happy. Hey, happy serving God and following his commands. The church, they've devalued the church. One big time Christian leader says, I don't care what label you have, as long as you love Jesus. That sounds so cute. But you know, I have found a lot of people that say they love Jesus, out of the other side of the mouth, they say a whole lot of other things. Their life doesn't match up with the words. Are you with me? Okay. And I'm not saying anybody's perfect, because I'm not perfect, but you know what I'm talking about. Their whole, nothing in their life says Jesus. It's just their mouth. Knocked on a door one time, lady, and her door was open. It was summer saturation. And she didn't see me. I had to reach in and knock on the door. And it was a lot louder than I thought. And she looked at me and said, blank! She didn't say blank. She said something else. I'm like, ma'am, I am so sorry. I did not mean to scare you there. Just trying to get your attention. I'm from Pacific Baptist Church. Oh, man. Oh, you're from I love Jesus. You just cussed at me a minute ago. Sound like my in-laws. The church. By the way, we don't even want to call ourselves a church anymore. We're the Spirit Fellowship. I heard of one called the Spirit Garage. Is that where you bring the Holy Spirit when he needs to be fixed? Okay. Christian Center. Eagle's Nest. The River. When I hear the river, I'll go to the river on Sunday, and hopefully there's some fish in that bad boy. Okay. Journey. Journey was a rock group I used to listen to before I was saved. Okay. I want to go to church. Okay. Don't be afraid. You know, that's like a car sales place being afraid of the word car. So they call themselves, you know, welcome to the mobility assistance. No, you're a car sales place. Tell me the truth. Okay, we're a church. People aren't afraid of church. That's why they come. Righteousness, letter C. We've brought the church down to our level. Instead of us going to church or going to the Lord and trying to raise our level or have the Lord raise our level. Righteousness. Come as you are. I'm all for come as you are. We invite people sometimes to church and they kind of see us and it's like, man, I don't have any dress clothes. Just come. What do you mean? Just get to church. Who cares what you're wearing? Now, some of you have been to church for a while. You should care what you're wearing. But it's like, it's not a big deal. Come as you are. But it has turned into stay as you were. Okay? And I understand you understand that. Separation. Letter D. Separation. You know? Well, you know, we're relevant. I think we're relevant too. Relevant doesn't mean we bring the Bible down to the world's level. Relevant means the Bible talks about your life wherever you're at right now. It'll help you in any area. It's relevant. Oh, that's just an old book with a bunch of old principles. No, it doesn't. It is stuff that'll help you in your life right now. Amen. That's relevant. But it helps. You know, when we talk about separation, it's just like, look, as I grow and I get closer to God, there may be some things, there will be some things that I used to be involved with or I used to be around that I need to separate myself from in my pursuit of God. Okay? When I, as a teenager, or 17 or 18-year-old, started pursuing God, there was a lot of my friends I had to leave behind. Now, I did leave them behind. Now I brought some of them to church, and some of them got saved and stuff, and that's great. But I'm not doing what I used to do with them, because that's against the things I'm learning as I'm going towards God. See, separation is a relationship thing. Look at the verses in 2 Corinthians. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? They can't have fellowship. Fellowship is based on our relationship with Christ. That's why as Christians we can get along so well, because we both know the Lord, and so we have that in common. We have the same value, the same principles, the same love for the Lord. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? These are all incompatible. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's a relationship thing. See, it affects our relationship with God. Do we hate everybody? Are we saying we're better than anybody? No. We're just saying we can't be involved in some of those things. And then the last thing is this. Evangelism. We've changed evangelism. We don't go soul winning anymore. We try to engage our culture. We try to, have friendship with pre-Christians or seekers. No, evangelism. Share the gospel. Oh, you can't do that right away. You'll offend people. Now, I understand some people. I've seen them share the gospel. You're right. You can't offend people. I'm not lovingly have a conversation about the Lord. Tell what he did for you. Tell what he can do for them. No one's going to get upset about that. Nobody. And we'll stop there. Let's pray.